Hello, nerds. Back again for another interview. This time I've got the faction, I'll get it right this time, the faction Invitational Champion of 2021, Nathan Drew Whalen. This is for the faction championship this year, lesser known as the Championship 4, held at Diamond Creek. We've got four rounds of Highlander, three rounds of Draft, and a top eight Drafto, which we believe is Crimson Vow, but we're not entirely sure about. And like I said, got Nathan here. How the hell are you?
I'm doing good, man. How about you?
I am doing okay. I'm cooped up in a house trying to avoid COVID for the next 15 days.
Yeah, that seems like a good plan.
But we'll see how we go, as the rest of Melbourne doesn't seem to be following, so that is okay. That's not what we're here for.
Yep, true.
So I want to talk to you. I've already spoken about you. We did an interview, what do I want to say, like 3 months ago maybe?
Something like that, yep.
It was really good. I really enjoyed it. Obviously, you're one of my best mates, so... It wasn't a whole lot of the things that were said weren't news to me, but got a lot of good feedback to it. But just briefly touch on your magic playing, your quote unquote magic career. Tell me about your GPs, your Pro Tour, RPTQ kind of thing, where you're hailing from, what you're bringing to the table.
Sure. So I guess hailed from NLG Preston, which is a store that disappeared, and touched on that in a bit more detail when we last spoke, but it's kind of where I found my feet, so to speak. Had some fairly reasonable GP success, especially when one of the Team Modern tournaments, I think we lost the last round or the second last round, and if we'd won that, we would have probably top forward. It's probably the best success. And then I've had a bunch of sporadic success, a few day twos for draft, and a couple of caches in some constructed formats. Had some heartbreaks at Nationals and at RPTQs, and never quite hit that, that goal of making the Pro Tour. But, I've had a lot of success in other places as well with Magic. I've written a few articles, which was pretty cool. Got sponsored by Channel Fireball once, which was phenomenal. And many memes have spawned from that day. Obviously missing the PT is a huge dagger, but I think I've had a pretty good run so far, and hopefully they come back and I can cross that off the list. But yeah,
sick, totally sick. And how long have you been part of the faction for? You've been here for quite some time. I know that you're one of the driving forces in getting me into the faction, but yeah, you've been here for quite some time.
Yeah, I don't know how many years it's been, but it's been a few. Time doesn't kind of make sense, I guess, for the last 2 years.
Yeah, that's true. It's a hard one to verify.
I'd say 5 years would probably be about accurate.
Yeah, right. You're still putting up with Hoodie's bullshit?
Yeah, well, someone's got to.
Do they? I suppose his wife and kids have to, so that's
fair. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
All right, so moving on from Hoodie, Crimson Vow. We've spoken a little bit about Crimson Vow. Talk to me about your experience in the format, what you think is the best, what you think is the worst, where you think, where do your allegiances lie when it comes to the color play?
I thought the format was going to be terrible after, my first maybe three games. But the more I play it, if you don't just get punked out by one of the bombs, the format's actually pretty interesting. It's a lot harder than I guess I would have given it credit for in those first couple of weeks. I think some of the colors are definitely better than others, but there are definitely lanes where you can end up having really powerful decks because people believe the same things. But yeah, I think you just kind of, it's a format where you can't really force anything. You just got to kind of draft what's open. Otherwise, you end up with the bad half of two different colors, or the ones that don't synergize, So I think it's about finding your lane, and it's probably a really good lesson for, people that are new to drafting. Maybe it's a good one to pick up.
Yeah, I love that. Absolutely love that. I think that's perfect. I think that's actually, I don't think we'll get a better analogy than that. That's really good. Yeah, I can't add anything to that. So 10 out of 10 for Crimson Vow. Nathan's going to crush it. On to Highlander. Let's talk about your Highlander deck. I know bits and pieces, but let's go into Highlander. Where do you think you are?
There's absolutely no reason I've come across yet to move off Rug. I don't think there's a points announcement before then. I think it comes a few weeks after, if I'm not mistaken. So probably pretty likely just lock that in. I've had... I've probably played 10 games with it and won 8 of them, so it's kind of not, not something I'm going to move away from very quickly, and it's just finding the sideboard slots and, finding that 60th card, maybe, changing that around. I think that's going to be the key.
Sure. Are you going to do? I feel like you as a person, you're definitely one of the hungriest players in the room when it comes to wanting to win. Do you apply that kind of, I'll use the term hunger, but that type into your sideboarding? Do you go after specific matchups, specific people? Like, do you envision that the top eight will be a specific subset of people or a specific subset of decks? Do you take that into account when you're going into this tournament as someone who is, I say highly competitive, which obviously you are. I don't mean that in a derogatory term. I
No, of
think
course. Yep.
it's faction champs. It's the pro tour. So, what can you speak to me a little bit about that? Like, obviously you just said, you've played a couple of games with your team of deck. You did really well in the Plenty of Games online tournament. You think you lost in the top four, was it?
Top four. That's right. Yep.
Yeah, top four, and you lost to Rug. So that's that. You write that one off. That doesn't count. So eight of eight, really. But yeah, talk to me about that.
Yeah, so I think at the end of the day, it's a tournament against friends, so you've got to take that into account. As in, I wouldn't necessarily go and scope out the room and then make sure that I'd punishing people that way. But it is definitely something to think about. When you think about the people that are going to turn up to this event, the chances of certain archetypes turning up, kind of aligns with that, and it is definitely something you've got to think about. Because if you know that no one likes playing, I don't know. An artifact deck, maybe you don't need to put as many artifact hate cards in your sideboard. Or if you know Papak, you know that someone at least in the room is going to have some graveyard stuff going on. So it's just kind of something that you keep at the back of your mind. And as you're tuning slots, it is a bit much more of a small metagame. You really do have to think about it. But metagaming against your friends is a weird one, right? If you fall on either side of it. At the end of the day, a tournament's a tournament, so.
Yeah, I think that's totally reasonable. Comes back to, I guess what you want out of the day. I mean, some people go to tournaments to enjoy the tournament for the tournament itself,
Yep.
and the people involved with it. Other people go to a tournament and they want to win it. And if they don't win it's miserable or whatever. I know that you don't sit on that side, but it's yeah, totally individual. But I was just more or less interested to get your take on that, because like I said, I know you've done prep for RPTQs and PTQs and being a part of the team, and people look up to you as somebody who's played a lot of Magic or puts the time into to try and chase those results. So I think it's interesting to hear that kind of response.
Yeah, definitely. I think I'd approach this very, very similarly to how I'd approach a an RPTQ, because they're not too far off in terms of the size, the amount of people turning up, and you have a little bit more of an insight into people's personalities. But at the end of the day, aside from the people that come from different states, you know who's going to be there, you know what they like, so it's not too far off from preparing for an RPTQ. It's definitely, I'd say, on average, more competitive than an RPTQ. Some of the people that turn up to these faction events, so
You
yeah.
reckon a faction champs is more competitive than an RPTQ?
It can be.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm gonna lean into that a bit. I'm gonna ask you, who are you sussing? Who are you sniffing? Who do you want to beat? Who, you know, like, if you're if these things get mega competitive, who's the guy at the top? Who's the one that you got to knock off in order to get the crown?
Kyle's probably, Kyle and yourself are probably the two that I put in that category. And then it's always nice to beat Hoodie, so.
Okay, so I knew Hoodie was going to be in there. Hoodie's getting a lot of action in these interviews. It's great. I
Excellent.
really appreciate it.
Yep.
Okay, so we just went over Crimson Vow. We went over Highlander. Where do you think your strength lies in between them? Like, what do you think your result's going to be? Where do you think your positive end's going to be?
If I look back at the start, like as in this time before all these events, and then look at the results, I've been wrong every time. I've always thought I've come into these events stronger on the constructed side, but my limited results have always kind of dominated. So, kind of hoping to just keep running that back. I think I've missed one of the top eights of these faction events. So it'd be pretty devastating to miss this top eight, but I mean, just kind of come in and the formats are good. Can't argue about any of that. Was going to be a bit concerned if Val wasn't that great, but like I said, it's turned out pretty good. So I don't know. I'm kind of not focusing too much on the results, and I just kind of want to go and have 12 beers with some friends. And I know I'm competitive, so it's good to start with that mentality, and then on the day put the game face on, and that's kind of, I think, how I'm going to approach it. But yeah, I think limited is probably where I'm going to get the better results. Just seems to be how it's been historically.
Sick. Yeah, love it. All right, so you've already said the people that you want to, you kind of got to knock out of the way in order to get there, like Hoodie and Kyle and me for some reason.
Yeah.
Who do you think's going to win it? Who do you think's going to be in there?
I'd like to see Pete make the final tables.
Oof.
That's who I'd like to see up there.
So we're going to put Pete in the final. Pete. So you reckon Pete's going to win it, or you think he's going to get up there? You think he's going to be in the final table?
I think he'll be in the finals. I was really impressed with him at the GG event, kind of turned up with a small amount of practice and just kind of wiped away the competition, to be honest. So, I mean, he had a little bit of luck to get into the top eight, but, walked away $250. Can't complain about that. I reckon he's a dark horse. I'd like to see that man have a W.
Okay. So Pete's the winner. Who do you think's your runner-up? Is he beating you?
I mean, I hope not.
Well, you've already got Pete at the top.
I think it's going to be another dark horse. I think it's going to be a couple of dark horses in the final four. I reckon it's going to be some names we haven't seen up there before. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Just trying to think of who might get there. Let's say Kyle loses to Pete in the
finals. Kyle, let me write this down and get it right. Kyle loses to Pete.
Yeah, let's do it. That's the outcome I'd love to see.
Wow. All right. Who gets ninth?
Tim.
Tim gets ninth. Why you hate on Tim?
No, Tim did great. That's what I'm envisioning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tim, ninth.
When the man can draft the right colour pairs that exist in that format, then he might make the top eight.
Yeah. He'll never live that one down. Old Orzov in fucking Ravnica when it's not in the set.
Yeah, it was good. Five head.
Selesnya, Boris were the two white pairings.
Yep.
No Orzhov. Okay. All right. Very good. Well, it's actually just going through what we've... So it's funny, right? That was a really good chat, but it's only been 12 minutes. So is there anything else you want to... You want to speak about in regards to, the faction or yourself or tournament prep or the day or anything?
I think it's just such a great thing that we've built up, between this, between the Invitational and Champs. It's a yearly thing that everyone gets to look forward to, and being able to open it up and, invite people that we like from the community and some people even from interstate is just fantastic. It's kind of like exactly what we want from a tournament scene, and we've kind of built it ourselves, and I could see in a couple of years this, becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. I think we've got like 30 people turning up for one of these events, which is kind of insane when we started at 12, so it's just phenomenal. It's really nice to have this whole second family that we're kind of opening up to the rest of the Australian Magic scene, and it is exclusive, so you'll have to hit hit up Hoodie for an invite if you're listening and you want to come. But yeah, it's just phenomenal just to be a part of it and go and hang out for a weekend with 30 of your mates. I wonder how many people could say that happens regularly for them,
Yeah, it's a great excuse, especially at this time of year, right? Like, we've just come off Christmas, but even more so, we've just come out, well, I say we've come out of COVID, but we're out of the lockdown side of COVID, and I believe that all of us are pretty, well, very mature, respectable people when it comes to dealing with the situation that we live in order to be in a safe space with each other, so... Yeah, we're extremely lucky. Like, the weekly podcast, I think every week we praise Hoodie and we praise the faction because we as a family, as a team, we're so lucky to be a part of it and each individual that's it's involved with it. Like, even to go as far as to doing these interviews and last year with Papak doing all the videography and stuff that we never did. Like that's. That shit's next level. Like, you don't just do that stuff because it's something that you do. You do it because you care about, you love it. You love the people involved. You care about the outcome of it. And, I think that we're super lucky.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't spend my Wednesday night talking to anyone. I want to spend my Wednesday night talking to the faction Invitational Champion of 2021.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, round one, I'm coming for Hoodie. We seem to get paired every second year.
Coming for Hoodie, okay. Yeah,
just put that right out there.
All right, well, that's a short one, short but sweet, but we heard it first. Nathan, coming for Hoodie. Thanks, guys. Bye, Kyle.
See ya.